Be nice now just to go over a summary of the extra devotion, bhakti rasa sindhu. Okay. So who can do this? The bhakti shastri is here. How is the book organized? Remember? No.
There are ways, but yeah.
Miss Kalindi Devi Dasi. Remember also? It's divided in four parts, right? Yeah. So it's like the ocean. There's the eastern part, the southern part, the western part, and the northern part. Okay? And it's like that. You know, so-and-so bog, Purva bog, Pashtat bog. This is the ocean, Sindhu. So divided in four parts. Now within each of these there are waves like that. So in this one, I forgot the Sanskrit name. So look in the back of Nectar of Devotion, the recent copies, and you'll see like the Rupa Goswami's summary. And actually in the very beginning of the book he actually has a summary like that. He himself says it's divided like this and that. You know? So this is like a summary of the whole book, like that. And the first wave is going to be general principles. Well, it's more like, you know, two things. What is bhakti? Okay. And two, qualifications of a candidate. Who can do bhakti? And that's two questions. And that's good. That's the first wave.
The who can do bhakti is also the first wave.
Yeah. Qualifications of a candidate. Yeah. What is bhakti? Yeah. And because Papa says, some man says, you know, I have so much bhakti for the demigods. I have so much bhakti for my wife. When I don't see her, I cry. Yeah. Prabhupada says, this is not bhakti. This is lust. Okay, so what is bhakti? Yeah. And they discuss that, okay, the definition. And okay, then who's qualified to take up bhakti? Yeah. Well, I have a lot of attachments. One time Prabhupada's in London. In some room conversation, one young man's a lawyer. Maybe like about 32 years old, that's old, you know, he'll be a little man like that. And he's very, intelligent, handsome, has a very nice wife, he comes to see Prabhupada. And they've been helping the devotees a lot. And so Prabhupada explains the whole culture of Krishna consciousness, philosophy, everything else like that. And the man says, thank you very much, Swamiji, and I'm very pleased to meet you like this. I've known your devotees for some time, and so I should help them. Thank you for your explanation. And I brought this piece of coral from the coral reef, in Great Barrier Reef, in Australia for you as a gift like that. So Papa could say, what is this, you idiot? I've been talking to you for 1 hour about all this philosophy, you give me this rock, like that, But the subtext, in hearing what he's saying is, Prabhupada, I know what you're saying is correct. The purpose of human life is to serve God, to develop these things. And I really want to do it, but I'm young, intelligent, a very nice wife. I guess a very good chance I could become member of parliament, and even possibly prime minister of England, like that, And I just cannot give it up, I'm just so attached, But I want to do something, so please accept this little gift of what I can do, And so Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, oh, thank you very much. And, I've heard about this reef, and they say it's like this and that. Thank you so much. And so it says, I accept whatever you can do like that. I understand. So that's what he's saying. Even though you're very attached, to your position in Varnashram Dharma, like that, I understand I should be a brahmacharini, right? And go distribute books my whole life and grow old and die in the ashram. But I want to have a family. I want to, go through life with my husband and do things with him and have kids and raise them properly. This is all Maya. But okay, it's okay. Even though you're attached to your position in Varnashram, you can still take up bhakti yoga. like that, no problem. Second way then is what is bhakti? Now we have different classifications. There's sadhana bhakti. And what's the next category? Sadhana bhakti. Bhava bhakti. Yes. And finally, you gotta get this.
Yeah.
Prema bhakti. So the Southern Ocean is all about, Bhava Bhakti. Okay. And the Western Ocean is all about Prema Bhakti, the primary rasas. Okay. And the Northern Ocean is also Prema Bhakti. This is the secondary rasas and mixing rasas. Okay. So in the first wave, he discusses a lot about sadhana bhakti. And basically covers the whole thing in detail. But Bhava Bhakti he discusses very briefly, and Prema Bhakti very briefly, because he'll elaborate those, right, in the other sections like that. So it's very well organized. It's a very systematic book. When you read the history here, you understand why. Because at that time, Navanyaya, the new logic was coming in, basically like the Renaissance in Europe, when this logic started becoming so prominent like that, rationalism, the age of reason. And so therefore, to impress people, you had to show things how logically connected like that, following Aristotle, following Euclid. So this whole intellectual thing was there. And that's why it's such a very systematic book, which to our modern German mind, I'm Austrian, it's very good, I like this. Actually, I was reading Prabhupada's books kind of like, because Prabhupada deals with other reasons how to connect things. But then I began to see, yes, there is a systematic logical structure. Prabhupada doesn't emphasize it many times, but it's there. So for me, it was like very satisfying. Other people too, okay, now I can see how it's all organized like that. We've made the Bhagavad Gita into a machine, okay? It's like this. Now we know what it is. We made it to reduce it to a machine like that. And that's our structure of knowledge now. So, it's an extremely analytical book. And without the next waves of devotion, he has these graphic pictures because we're all visually oriented people. More and more, every year people are more stupid. They have to see things, like that. So without these diagrams, Prabhupada says this, has four categories. Each of these have three categories, and these could be replaced by so and so. And it's like this whole thing, which I guess an Indian could actually picture the thing, but we have to actually have it drawn down like that to see it. So if you want to, you can take this whole thing and all these subcategories and put it all into one gigantic graphic with 9-point type, with all the divisions and subdivisions and relationships like that, and have the whole thing there. It's like this is your PhD project. And actually, of course, then you could actually do it as a PowerPoint show, right? And maybe have the whole thing running at one time like that. The whole thing going from place to place like that, and divisions and colors flowing like that. Wow. But and this is what it is, because you actually see it. It's like he's trying to describe the ocean. If you go to the Mediterranean, there's a beautiful seashore, and the waves are hitting the beach, and there's like places where they come up and they sit, and some flow back in, and some go into these holes in the rocks and splash and hit each other and mock them back. That's what he's trying to describe. He's trying to describe the waves and the ocean of love of God. Because something will be a cause of something, and that result will actually be the cause of the thing itself. So you got to understand. But he does this fantastic job you know, making it into an analyzing the whole thing. So this is the basic structure. What is bhakti? Who can take up the process? And here's the process. So sadhana bhakti is divided into two categories. Right away we got analysis. Those two categories, you know?
Who were your teachers?
Remember?
Vaidhi.
Okay. And? Yeah, Raganuga. And what is Vaidhi Bhakti?
Can I just add something to so how much I mean how much connection or how much similarity has Nectar Devotion with Bhakti Rasa and the Sindhum? Is it exactly the same or
in waves of devotion he goes through that. He says except for a few verses, Prabhupada paraphrases everything. Yeah, the Madhyamas, so maybe like I don't know how many verses there are. 1,700 verses, like maybe 10 verses or 15 verses like that. But sometimes it's just like a little mention like that and stuff. And it's, you know, it's a summary study.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah. And when we are studying, we are kind of we are focusing on Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, or we are focusing on Nectar Devotion?
We're focusing on Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu as far as whale's lampetter is concerned.
Okay.
You know. Have you read Nectar Devotion?
Yeah,
largely,
not the whole thing, but...
Yeah, yeah. I read the whole thing, and it was kind of almost incomprehensible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can understand what Prabhupada was saying, but it's just like, you know, he talks about these things, it's just, they're extremely technical, you know. He even says it's incomprehensible in our present condition,
mm-hmm.
like that. But when it first was produced, one devotee said, when it first came out, Prabhupada said, now read this book 6 times, and all your questions will be answered. Not that you say, what is this, what is this? So I think if you did that, you went through it one time and you're chanting Hare Krishna, and you went through it again and chanting, you know, and then gradually over like 6 years, then you begin to see what problem, because you know it's that's what he means, you know, like that. And yeah, but Dhanaraja Maharaj's book just goes right into Sanskrit and why Prabhupada picks a different thing. This is what's it called? Devotional service in practice. This is devotional service and how's it called? Spontaneous devotional service, practical devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, ecstatic devotional service, and pure devotional service. And Prabhupada, I've seen Prabhupada maintain those terms when he's using them in Srimad Bhagavatam. He'll say Bharata Maharaj was on the level of, you know, ecstatic devotional service. Oh, that's not prema. Oh yeah, and he's consistent. He maintains his usage of the words. But in terms of the English usage, there's absolutely no reason why this should be, you know, spontaneous devotional service, this should be pure devotional service. I mean, they're both spontaneous, they're both pure, he's just picking words, you know. But sometimes, if you look at the original Sanskrit, there is a reason why Prabhupada took a certain term which kind of seems strange, you know, like that, you know. So Dhanadhara Maharaj's book is really, you know, wonderful. It's almost, if you can read it first, because he's pulling out quotations from Prabhupada, explaining like that. She can read his book separately, like that, and then go back through, because he doesn't give everything Prabhupada gives. You know, so you're reading, the two are connected. But I would say that's the whole thing about epistemology. You gotta kind of justify this to Wells Lampeter, is that we're studying the academic traditions a little bit, but right in the very beginning, volcanoes. Gotta have volcanoes in your papers there, remember that? Volcano. Right in the beginning, he's rejected this, and therefore, we're talking about it from a devotional point of view, devotional perspective. Like that. It's very important, I think, in terms of the whole academic thing here, is how to, and so we have to, otherwise we get lost, we just become, you know, scholars and making a scholarly thing. And our point is actually to make some kind of challenge. You want to come into their area enough, you know, to be respectful and talk with them. But we don't want to get so much into the thing, we just lose the whole point of the thing, you know, like that. You want to stay, you know, in our area, and saying that we have something which is different, which is superior, like that, you know. But it can be expressed in this academic sense, and that's what he's done here, like that. So, it's, from Lampeter's point of view, our point of view too is Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, you know. But Nectar of Devotion is this, you know, jewel of kinds of summary studies. Okay? Okay. So Vaidhi Bhakti, what are some examples of Vaidhi Bhakti? What is Vaidhi Bhakti? You know? What does that mean, Vaidhi Bhakti?
Yeah.
What are some examples? What would it include?
Japa.
Yeah.
Money program.
Yeah.
Ishravana Kirtana. Mm-hmm. Worship service.
Mm-hmm. Kadasi. Worshipping Tulsi. He gives about 50 or 64? 64 different things you can do like that. And he emphasizes five of them. Five are extremely potent. Remember any one of those? He emphasizes five. Out of the 64, five are really summarizes them.
Did I just say Sri Ramana
Kirtan?
No.
Bhagavatam?
Yeah, studying Srimad Bhagavatam.
Deity worship.
Huh? Worshipping the deity.
Holy place.
Huh?
Holy place.
Living in a holy place. Two more.
Association.
Associating with devotees.
Chanting.
Was it chanting or? Sankirtan. Yeah. Sankirtan. Yeah. He says these five are especially very important like that. So then, after that, you know, this will take you all the way to Goloka, after Goloka, to Vaikuntha, just by following Vaidhi Bhakti, like that, following rules and regulations, getting up, chanting your rounds, everything else, you can go to Vaikuntha. But to accelerate the process, you can also then try and, you know, when you're following your Vaidhi well, you're following Vaidhi Bhakti well, okay, you become liberated, you become, you know, situated above the modes of material nature. Then you can take up Raganuga. So any idea what Raganuga is? Yeah. What is Raganuga?
You mean in translation or what? It's spontaneous, yeah. It's out of, you know, doing out of love, spontaneously, not
for the point is out of love. There's prema's way down here. Yeah. No? What is the word? Raganuga. Raga means attachment.
Attraction.
Yeah. Yeah. Anu means after.
Oh.
Yeah. And ga means to go. So it means going after a ragatmika bhakta. It means imitating. Right? Now every day you make the noon offering. The Radha Gopinath. You're on time, clean, you know, one wet sabji, one dry sabji, puris, salt, pepper. You know, lemon slices, nectar, dal, rice, sweet, okay, everything like that, proper. Okay, here's your lunch, I'll be back in half an hour, all right, well, you know, it's like, you know, where's the feeling? And you feel that, and you feel like, what kind of love is this? I'm just doing like a robot, you know, and I'm liberated, I'm kind of smiling, you know, I will. But, so, how does Mother Yashoda offer lunch to Krishna? How do the cowherd boys have lunch with Krishna? So this is Raganuga. I'm going to do it still. I'm not going to deviate from the, you know, the rules and regulations. But now I'm going to do them, you know, in the way a certain devotee does it, like that. You know, the cowherd boys have lunch different with Krishna than Mother Yashoda. They're playing and stuff, and she's like, you know, feeding Krishna. So what are the qualifications for taking up Raganuga? Remember? The intense desire to do it. when you want to have a service like this person, you know, then you're qualified for a Raganuga like that. You know, you just want to be like them, you know, like that kind of service. So then you start like, you know, and at this point you're already a Goswami. You're already a sannyasini or whatever it is. You have your senses under control. And the Paramatma is talking to you, you know. So, you know, it's already an elevated platform. But then you find something by chance. You realize, not by chance. I came in contact with this when I was ready for it. And the Paramatma is guiding me. And you know, good intuition, good insight. You feel like I'm being guided, you know. So you start taking up certain things, certain prayers and stuff like that. So your Vaidhi now becomes regulated by this feeling, this hero. You know? And if you do this, either one of these, they'll take you to through bhava bhakti. Now, in bhava bhakti, it's no longer practice. Sadhana is practice. You're practicing. You're practicing to cry. You're practicing to laugh. You're practicing to be brave. Papa says we have to learn the little art of crying for Krishna. And the sahajiyas do the same thing, right? Yeah. They also cry for Krishna. But they don't cry for Krishna. They cry for their own satisfaction. Sahajiyas want to enjoy being this and that experience, enjoy this and enjoy that. But we don't want to do it to enjoy. We want it to just to give some flavor to our service like that, At least I should act like, somebody coming, giving lunch to Krishna, like that. And then it actually works. It actually stimulates the real feelings like that. So again, like a starter motor on a car, right? You go, okay, that's bhava bhakti. At some point you have that experience, you're doing sagatan, you got your lines down like that. You're even taking Vaisheshika sagatan seminar, all about book distribution like that. You distract the person and stick the book out and your hair falls out there. It's just automatic reaction like that, your hand open like that. Very few people don't do that. And once the book's in his hand, the whole thing. So after this seminar, you'd like to go and kill Yadu, right? See, any question, they're like, you like to eat worms, right? So this is McCabe nod, the salesman. To put the question in a positive fashion, and don't say anything, just keep nodding your head up and down. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, 15 minutes, find a person. It's very difficult not to like. So these are all techniques. This is sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, practice, But at some point you realize it's not, you actually felt real compassion for these people. This came out of your heart, this feeling of compassion. And now you're approaching them, and you may not even using your techniques, you're just going at them like, tears almost coming out of your eyes, the guy's looking at you like, oh, well, what is it? He said, sir. It's like, oh, well, thank you very much, So that's bhava, It's coming, But it's not, there's no difference between prema and bhava except maturity. Bhava is the immature form of prema. This is something I had to figure out. I used to hear it again and again, but it's there, And so then, in this stage, there's a whole way, the fire's going. Now when the motor's turning over, the actual engine is actually kicking in like that. If you're a guy, more experienced than girls. Anyway, try to start your car. Have you had experience? Yeah. The starter motor's going, you're praying to God that the battery doesn't die before the thing. But you hear it going, okay, that's the real engine. And that was a real feeling. That wasn't imitation like that. But it's like a fire. You get the matches. Now that the wood is burning, you don't keep on putting matches in the fire. People think you're crazy like that. At this point, we want to put more wood, right? But not too much, because it'll smother it. Air, but just the right amount of air like that. So that's bhava bhakti, how to stimulate these feelings until they become completely pure and strong again. So pure devotional service like that, prema bhakti. So that's the first part.
How much, you were mentioning that Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti one can reach the Vaikuntha. And Raghunuga Bhakti, you were bringing some examples of the cowherd boys with taking prasadam with Krishna. So I'm wondering that on what stage human being can attain in a human body or power and brain. Everything is possible.
It's Devahuti, if he was like example, instructions from Kapila. I think one example is like the coconut. What's that example?
When the coconut becomes loose from the...
Yeah, the actual meat, flesh, you can shake it and hear it inside like that. So if you meet somebody, advanced devotee, you kind of shake them and you see that they're totally detached from their body, like that. And she was like a fire, covered fire, because then you see that the body is there, but these things are just, they're coming out through different kinds of symptoms like that. So yeah, you can be pure bhakti. Yeah. Actually, you have to, otherwise, you know, if I do it all the time of death, that'd be a little risky. let's get it all ready before we have to make our jump here. You know, check the parachute before we go out the window. That's okay. That's a little summary like that. You got to summarize this in your paper. You know, you got to give a summary. One question, one of our paper questions. You know, what is the content of Bhakti Rasa Sindhu? Right? Whale's Lampeter expects you to know this. Right? So here's the first part. It's divided into four oceans, and the first part is this, like that. You know, reading, like when you're hearing people reading it after Mangala Arati, a lot of times you read Nectar of Devotion, and it's just like incomprehensible a lot of times. Let's read something, nobody understands what it means, you know. But then you think, oh yeah, that's this. He's talking about that. He can fit in, okay, yeah, yeah. So again, this is like, there's a lot of this. This is, you know, pretty much Sandhavati is covered here. I think again, you know, we're going to probably go over this again, because David Haberman has a more detailed description. But to follow his description, you really have to know the history of the Rasa Shastras. It all fits together. This is good for now. Okay. So then next there is Bhava Bhakti. How many ways? You know? I think it's five. Okay, so the first one is Vibhava. They're all bhavas. And I had a complete misunderstanding of this. I have lectured on it. And other people. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika, Bhava, Vichari, Bhava. And I got that from Rai Maharaj. And this is Sai Bhava. And I think almost all these terms were used before Rupa Goswami for similar things, but sometimes different. So you read the history and you begin to see, oh, how it changed and how it changes it. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvikabhava, Vyabhichari Bhava. Okay. So this is the stimulus for Bhava. Again, bhava is the immature form of prema. And the basis of all these things is sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava is in neutrality, servitorship, friendship, conjugal love, and parental affection, like that. These are the five basic sentiments. Yeah.
It's interesting because you just had the Kavya course, and I think it's also called sthayi bhava in a literature, that the motion that is kind of in a drama, the motion that goes through.
Oh, what was the course?
It's Kavya, about the Sanskrit.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, the motion that is underlying
yeah.
motion of the whole work. It's
yeah.
called also sthayi bhava.
So all these things are connected. No, you know, Tattva Sandarbha, and that. That's one thing is that, you know, our Western view of time, the time is a line that goes one direction, there are no branches, and every step is just the same. Okay, it's a very, you know, German view of reality like that. You know, I can have an Austrian view. But other cultures have different views of time. Ours is more spiral. You know, it's the same thing again and again. And that's actually so... You know, so when you learn that kind of idea, you must learn this, then you learn that, then you learn this, then you learn that, then you learn this. No going back, no branches. But no, as you learn a little bit, then you look at a different, learn something else in perspective, and you go back and read the same thing again and again. Like Prabhupada says, six times, but you begin to get fit together like that. So don't try and understand everything the first time. Yeah, enjoy yourself, you know, looking at it, reading it, studying it. And you go through it again, and you know, it's very practical. Oh, so it works. So sthayi bhava, with Dhananda Maharaj gives the example, this is the water. This is all the ocean with the waves and things like that. And there's the wind, you know, blowing the waves. There's the tide, making it go in and out. There's the waves themselves. But the whole substance is Staibab. Staibab.
Sorry? The whole what?
Substance.
That reflects the one's constitution of rasa, right?
Oh boy.
Particular.
Okay. One's constitutional rati.
Oh, rati.
Yeah. Rati is attachment, and when you exchange, when you, you know, engage with Krishna, interaction with Krishna based upon your rati, then rasa is produced, like that. So it's not your rasa with Krishna; it's your rasa being produced with Krishna. Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So there's a stai bhava, you know, which then becomes the stai rati, becomes the primary rati, like that, when it's matured. It's just in this form, Krishna can't reciprocate with it. You want to be like Krishna's mother and take care of him. You have some feelings like that, but they're not intense enough for Krishna to be able to, you know, to reciprocate like that. You know, Mother Yashoda sees Krishna, you know, in the clutches of Kaliya. Maybe we feel, oh, that's really bad. Look, Krishna's been captured by the snake. Wasn't that terrible? You know, but what must Mother Yashoda do it? You know,
defense.
Yeah, she's tearing her hair out. She's screaming, you know, then Krishna can reciprocate with this. And don't worry, I'm okay. You know, with us, it's just, you know, it's there, but it's not intense enough for Krishna to reciprocate with like that. So there's no rasa produced like that. And we want that. We want to give it to Krishna. We want to be able to, you know, have this exchange. You know. Okay. But what stimulates this, right? That's Vibhava. Yeah? Vibhava is the fundamental stimulation for everything else. So, yeah.
So, Maharaj, again, to this point that you were mentioning, that all these levels of brahma bhakti is possible to attain. So, you were just mentioning about reading the Krishna book, Krishna Captured by the Snake. And so, I'm really like surprised here. Is it really possible for to actually experience the rasa like Mother Yashoda is experiencing towards Krishna in the
Krishna book?
Yeah, is it really possible in a human body to experience rasa in that
uh-huh.
intense way, like Mother Yashoda experiencing it?
Yeah.
It is?
Because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Gabunai, it's already there. You already have your Krishna Prema. Nitya Siddha, it's eternal nature, fact, perfection, Krishna Prema. Sadhya Gabunai, all we're doing is waking it up, like that, you know? As you go on here, I think it'll become clear, like that, because you have to talk about what we're talking about. Is it possible to experience prema in a human body? Well, what is prema? You know? So prema is bhava, the same thing. So, but there has to be stimulus for that, right? Now, it can be like Krishna's flute, the sound of Krishna's flute, Krishna's joking words, what else? You know, it can be different things that relate to Krishna personally, like that. Some things are directly Krishna, and some things are in relationship to Krishna. Yeah. It probably uses the terms, but it's very hard to understand these terms like that. You know, like that. But when you read the explanation of Dhanu Maharaj, even then here with David Haberman, then you understand what he's talking about. One is, don't write this down, Udipana, and the other is Alambana, like that, the Sanskrit terms. But one is Krishna himself directly, how beautiful he is, how funny he is, how brave he is. Another one, for example, is Krishna's temple. Like you've been traveling for a long time and this and that, you're coming back and you see the temple here in Vadadesh, remember all your memories, and you start crying and choking like that, and you know, some building, you know, like that, you know. No, because it's in terms of Krishna. It reminds us of Krishna in our pastimes like that. So these are all the different kinds of vibhava. The stimulation like that, either Krishna himself or his avatars, or things in relationship to Krishna like that. And this stimulates the different feelings. Now, this of course stimulates the soul. The bhava is coming from the soul like that. But it manifests itself the body on the body like that. You know? And maybe our consciousness can only appreciate it in the body in terms of tears, choking, stun in the beginning like that. You know? So this is all a product of the, when you read this, you'll see this, the Shuddha Sattva, nature. There's tamas, rajas, and tamas, rajas, and sattva. Yeah. But when it comes to shuddha sattva, shuddha, pure goodness, okay. At that point, the actual soul starts to come out like that, you know, and it starts to express itself. And this is sattvika bhava, right? And it's this spontaneous expression. These are involuntary expressions, reactions. Here's the stimulus, vibhava. Then these are all reactions, right, to the stimulus. So sattvika bhava is like crying. It's not voluntary. Hiccuping. Things that are involuntary. What else you got? Trembling, becoming stunned, like that. You know, these are all the sattvika bhavas. And usually it's describing, of course, the symptoms, because that's what we can talk about. Becoming stunned, crying, you know, like that. Bewilderment of memory. Okay. Make it clear. The anabhavas are things that require a little bit of effort, like clapping your hands, or jumping up and down, or singing. You know, you become... The kirtan is very nice, and it starts to feel something, and you really, you know, you wanted to start singing, you want to open your throat up, right? Just let it out. There's something. You're kind of afraid of people around me. What will they see if I start acting like this? You know, stuff, you know. But you need to say, oh, okay. So this is voluntary, in the sense that it requires a little bit of intelligence to keep it organized. But it's the same thing. You know, again, this is Narayamara, I think it's common here. And also, is that also other people. That the sattva anubhava is just, you know, it's also sattva bhava from the shuddha sattva platform. But it's when you have to use a little bit of intelligence to keep it going and stuff like that, to organize it. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. These are both reactions. The V means very much. Abhi means towards, and going, and chari means going. So these are sentiments that fit into the sthayabhava. I don't understand exactly how they're different than these two. Yeah, I've only read it 3 times. I got a few more times before I understand what's going on. But the vyabhichari bhavas are something that are a little different. They're more directly related to the sthayabhava, like that. I think example like, and they come and they go, you know, like that. For example, Mother Yashoda sees baby Krishna, child Krishna, captured by this rascal Kaliya, right? You know. So what is her sthayabhava? Friendship. She responds as a friend. It's obvious answer. You know? She responds as servitorship, friendship, conjugal love, parental affection. So that's her natural response, is to respond like a parent, like a protector of Krishna. You know. But she may also start, you know, somebody's videotaping the whole thing. She may also start using words that you didn't know Mother Yashoda knew, like that about Kaliya, you know, like that. You know, very, you know, talking very, you know, strange for her. And afterwards, when you show the videotape, Mother Yashoda, she sees it, she's covering her face with a sari, like, oh my God, did I say that? You know? Yeah. But it's not wrong. You know, in that circumstance, for a mother to act like that, everybody thinks, yeah. Mother, when her child's in trouble, she should act like, you know, tigers. You know. But it comes out of the ocean of the sthayabhava, and it goes back in. And it enhances the sthayabhava, you know. But it's not like, you know, kind of an unusual thing like that. I'm also trying to understand this. You know. But that's the whole thing. That's the second thing. There's these 5 bhavas. There's the stimulus. There's involuntary reactions. And then there's involuntary reactions that require some voluntary thing to make them practical, like dancing, singing, playing the drum, singing for Krishna. And then the sthayabhava is the basic fundamental relationship we have with Krishna. It's starting to come out. So this is what I'm trying to do. You know, the more I do this, I begin to realize, well, this is, okay, that's where I'm at. You know, I've got to get my vadi bhakti down. I got to figure out how to conquer this particular problem and get it under control and making progress, because then I'll get liberated, and then I can start to like you know, work on these things like that. Yeah? Okay. And of course, there's a big long section of all the qualities of Krishna. You know, Krishna is a good singer, he's a good dresser, he's like this, like that, you know. That's all Vibhava. And so on this level, you can actually read the book, you know, read these qualities and then meditate on them and just, you know, to stimulate you, right? Consciously read the things that stimulate your Vibhava. Some of these things will go on for years, just kind of flowing and filling certain things, and you'll be stimulating them like that and developing like that. It describes different people and how they react to these things. You cannot be an acharya for common people if you have a small, soft heart. It's not wrong. It's okay. You've got to have a heart like a diamond, and it's got to be big. Otherwise, as soon as you get the Vibhava, you'll start crying and, you know, laughing like a madman. And people, you know, it's like the Pretty Botanic that says, Lord Chaitanya was a religious epileptic. Right? That's what it looks like to a common person. You wouldn't just be able to understand it. So Prabhupada sometimes could not control these things, you know, but usually he could. And that's necessary if you're going to be an acharya for common people. So the people, they're just as advanced as Prabhupada, but they cannot be, you know, founder acharya of this society because they just react so easily to these things like that. You know? You can understand this. Like, oh, wow. So Prabhupada obviously had either a big heart or a hard heart. A diamond-like heart or both, you know, like a diamond. Well, some hearts are like diamonds, some are like ghee. Ghee melts with just a little bit of heat, but diamond, you've got to really heat it up like that. But then, of course, it shows it. Yeah. So not wrong, you know, to have a sense like a hard heart. I mean, it's just a different kind of reaction. So this is, you know, Bhava Bhakti, and it matures into the five primary rasas in the mature stage. And, you know, discusses that. And he says, but he doesn't talk too much about kinds of love because it's in, what's the word? Ujvala Nilamani. Yeah, Ujvala Nilamani. They say that's where he goes into more detail. Then there's how many secondary rasas? Remember this? Know what they are, any of them? The secondary rasas?
Chivalry.
Huh? Chivalry. Ghastliness.
Horror,
that's gaffiness, yeah. Humor, I forgot myself like that, yeah. But these, so these are, can only exist on the basis of primary rasa, you know. Somebody may be in this rasa of friendship, you know, with, you know, like Uddhava, he becomes, he's more in the servitorship, but kind of a friendly fashion like that. So he's talking to Radharani in this primary rasa, and she starts to like slip or fall or something. So he, you know, very chivalrously holds her hand. Not even that, I'll be like that. You know, there's actually a story that's in the Malti of Prabhupada, the Radharani in London, the deity. And so the primary rasa, you can tell this, it's maybe a servitorship, but he's a, you know, yadu, so a little more like kshatriya like nobility. Madame, let me help you. So the chivalry is the secondary rasa, the primary rasa is higher servitorship. But these can only exist on the basis of primary rasa. But sometimes they're so prominent that the primary rasa is really kind of covered by them. And the real thing is chivalry, the real thing is horror, the real thing is, you know, like that. You know? Yeah. And finally is the mixture. For example, we can have vanilla strawberry ice cream. That's okay? Yeah?
No.
Okay. No, you don't like it. I don't like it. Okay. What do you want? Okay. Or peppermint chocolate. Chocolate mint? Yeah? Okay. Okay. What about chocolate broccoli ice cream? Yes. Okay. So, this is called, I think, Vivatsa. And it means incompatible mixture. I always thought it was this way, and with a book, you know, is it rasa basa does not mean incompatible mixture. No, it doesn't mean like unacceptable mixture. It means a weak mixture. You know? So there are proper mixtures, proper mixtures, unacceptable mixtures, and weak mixtures. Before the name appears, the real name is namabas, rasa basa, namabas. This is like before the sun comes up, there's light, and all the snakes go away, the thieves stop bothering you. So just by nam, just by the nam bas name, you get liberated. But before the name actually appears, when the name actually appears, okay, no, it's just the holy name is here. It's not it's Krishna, like that. So rasa bas, okay, there's something there, but it's not strong or something. Call it shadow sometimes or reflection. And so here is the mixture of the secondary rasas and the mixtures like that. Yeah. It's okay? Yeah, that's how it's all organized, the book, for our benefit. So then, so what happens then again is that some people can keep these symptoms, expressions from coming out in the body, and so you can manifest in a human body without. St. Francis was saying when he was hearing the heavenly violin, he had to give it up, otherwise his body would have been destroyed. But yes, it's possible. Sometimes one of the symptoms of prema bhakti is death, right? You just can't support it, like that. So sometimes, yes, there is situations where, Lord Chaitanya is manifesting Mahabhava, Radharani, these kind of things like that. The hands are separating from the body by 6 inches, your teeth are chattering, blood's coming from your pores, water shooting from your eyes like syringe, and foam is coming from your mouth. And that's how the prema is coming out. But it can also be simply just an exchange of glances, like that. Nothing more than that. It doesn't even, externally doesn't even look very, somebody else looks at it, it seems like it is, probably just kind of just nodded, right? But you ask the person, it was just unbelievable experience, because it was that's on a psychological platform, and it was a communication like that. They understood each other. Many cases of Prabhupada relating to people like this. Stop here, Leo. So it's okay. Paramakti. It doesn't destroy the body. It can be somebody that's just chanting Bhagavad Gita. But this the internal content, you listen to that, there's sentiments there. Fragrance can be very mild, right? But it can be very nice, very elevated, pure, like that. So it doesn't have to be something which tears your body to pieces and everything else. The in the very conclusion of Nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikha says, but how can you describe God with words? God is beyond words. And Sukadeva Goswami, I've recited the entire book, says you're misunderstanding. Yes, it's of course. Didactic question. You're misunderstanding what is the material world. The material world, when it's used for sense gratification, is material. When it's used for serving Krishna, it's spiritual. Like that. So there's no difference whatsoever between using the material world, to offer service flowers to Radha and Krishna, and there is in offering flowers in the spiritual world to Radha and Krishna. It's the same thing, but it's just the point of view. So when pure devotee sees Radha Gopinath, he sees Radha Gopinath. And he sees that they're acting very, very, quietly, so that nobody is too disturbed by too much too soon. And so the pure devotee also acts like that. Offers RT like that. Doesn't engage in the play. He notices that. Krishna has Radharani's necklace on, like that. Prajwari made a mistake. Krishna stole it. So he sees that and So Radharani notices. This is actually what happens in the stories of Prabhupada, these subtle things like that. But, for the ordinary people, then we keep it under control. But in some ways it makes it more tasty because, that's a little secret we're playing now. And the Prabhupada may say something. He says, tell somebody, he says, Krishna has a very beautiful necklace today, doesn't he? And the boy looks, he says, yes, Prabhupada. so this is prema bhakti. Okay? Okay. What about the book? Okay, last question. Stop it.
Does Rupa Goswami only speak about rasa only when he speaks about prema bhakti? Or rasa? Or
did
the term rasa comes also in
for? I don't think it's in the level of bhava bhakti. Because again, rasa is what is produced, you know, when the, I guess the bhava becomes rati. That's the whole thing. It's an extremely technical book with very precisely defined sense, well, pretty sometimes very precisely, Sanskrit terms. And for Prabhupada to try to, you know, to try and translate this into English, which is a second language for him, and also which is a language totally, not totally, very much incapable of, you know, of expressing these things, and do it quickly, you know, but he did, you know. So you go back and you see why, oh, okay, that's why he did this. So now I understand what it term means, how Prabhupada uses it. But as far as I know, again, that these are all bhavas, and the bhava becomes rati, like that, the sentiment. And the rati then produces, in reaction to Krishna, produces rasa. Yeah. Okay, your reading assignment for today. I would suggest starting, do the history. Start reading the history of, like this. I guess maybe someone make a photocopy for everybody else like that. So is there somebody? Okay, all right. So, you know, I guess maybe five copies.
Five copies.
Yeah. I'll give you a good. And be careful not to mix the pages up, otherwise you have to figure out, grieve what the, you know, what is that.